Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
And so it's my great, great pleasure to introduce to you. I met Scott when he was just, he couldn't have been maybe 13 or 14, and just as shy can be. And now God's using him to literally touch a part of the world where the gospel light is so dim. And so would you give him a hand as he comes and welcome him as he ministers?
Well, how is everyone tonight? I hope you're doing good. I know that there is a penguin game going on tonight. And I know there's a lot of people probably there. So that's great. I hear the penguins might win. How many is rooting for the penguins? It is my pleasure to be back here at Victory Family Church. My wife and I, we have our three kids. We just came in. I've been in the States now 1 week. My wife just flew in 2 nights ago, so she's still waking up at 2 a.m. Always an honor and a privilege to be here. We have so many that actually are supporters of ours, friends of ours from way back. How many have never heard me before? Raise your hand if you have never heard me before. Wow, that is a lot of hands. We only get back to the States every 2 years. But my wife and I, Krista, we've been serving overseas now for 16 years on the mission field. It's truly an honor and it's a calling because you don't do it unless you're called. I can verify that. You know, God, he calls you, he anoints you, and he graces you wherever you're called to be. And if that's here in Cranberry, it's an amazing thing. He wants you to serve right here, and he gives you a grace to do that. And we're certainly graced where we're at. But I want to share with you a little bit tonight, a little bit of my own testimony, and I want to share you about some testimony of some heroes. I call them hidden heroes of the faith. I rub shoulders with men and women who are the persecuted church. It's amazing how God brought me to where I am and what I'm doing now. And I can only look and say that it is truly God. But it's an honor because when you meet these men and women and you hear their stories and what they do and what they've been through, some of them 3 times being in jail, persecuted for their faith, you know, we live in the greatest country there is in the world. And I can say that knowing that because I've been to a lot of places. We are blessed. Touch your neighbor next to you and say, you are blessed. You don't know how greatly you are blessed in the United States of America. And to have freedom like we have, I just want to say the praise and worship team, you guys do an amazing job. That was amazing tonight. But, you know, what we do, our ministry is called Project Reach, and that stands for Reaching East Asia with the Commission of Christ. And God put it in our heart many years ago to actually facilitate and to help nationals in Asia to fulfill their calling and to ultimately fulfill the commission of Christ in these nations. And so what we do is we go in and we do module trainings to help them understand Bible truths that we as Americans take for granted, and yet they starve. They're so hungry for these truths that we have such an abundance of and able to enable them to understand that truth and then to apply it to their lives and to see God work through them. Such great testimonies. It's been truly amazing seeing that done. And so that's what we do. Right now, we work in 5 different areas. We're working in 2 areas in Vietnam. We work in 1 area in Cambodia. And then we work in 2 areas on the Thailand border next to Burma and to Laos. And some of these countries, we have to bring the pastors and leaders into Thailand because we can't go into their countries because of persecution. But it's truly amazing to see the hand of God and how he's opened more doors for us and expanding our ministry and what he's doing, but all to glory to Jesus. You know, if I could title this message tonight, I would say, God uses the unusable to reach the unreachable. And I just want to ask you here tonight, you may think you're unusable, But I am a living testimony to let you know that God can use anyone. I don't know your background. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know circumstances. But one thing I do know, we serve a God who is a redeeming God. And he has the power to redeem lives and to take you from nothing and make you into something so that he can use you for his glory and so he can touch lives. And so if you're here tonight and you don't believe that, I trust that by the end of the service, you will understand that God can do that and he will use you. I have a video I'm going to show. And in this video, we're going to see the several places we work in. It shows you both Laos. It shows you Thailand. It shows you Cambodia. And it shows you Vietnam. So if I can ask you guys in the sound department, if you want to roll that and we can watch that.
Song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, sound. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none truer than this. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory.
God has been very faithful in what he's doing through our ministry there. And, you know, how many was here? We actually, when we left for the mission field 16 years ago, we left from Cranberry Township. That's when it used to be called Victory Christian Fellowship. How many was here way back and remembers us when we actually left? That's a few hands there. Amen. We actually want to thank many. How many are supporters of us that are here tonight, if you would lift your hand? We want to thank you. We want to honor you. There's a few hands here. Amen. We're so grateful for each of you helping us do what we're doing overseas. We are very grateful. But we left from here 16 years ago, having no idea what we were going to do. Our son at that time, who's now 16, he's taller than I am. He's got more muscles than I have now. But at that time, he was only 11 months old when we went to the mission field. And it was somewhat scary, but it was somewhat exciting because we were just stepping out on the water, you know, like Peter getting out of the boat. We didn't know what was going to happen. But if we would have known what was going to happen, I don't think we would have went. Sometimes that's how God works. He puts a carrot out in front of you, you know, and you look at what the exciting part of it and you get it. But then it's amazing how he uses you to reach people for his purpose. I want you to open your Bible, if you have your Bible tonight, and you guys in the sound booth, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be looking there from verse 26 to 28. So as you're turning there, you know, whenever I was a teenager, we grew up from a broken home, and my mom was always working. I was the youngest of the three, so my sister and my brother, they were usually always gone. I grew up in front of the television. I was an 80s kid. How many grew up in the 80s? So I was an 80s kid. Growing up in front of the television, that was my babysitter. And I learned to be actually an introvert. I had such a fear of people. I could not speak in front of people. I could not carry a story or even talk. I would turn blue. I would hyperventilate. I would be nausea. But God worked an amazing work where he took my mom and he took her out of a denominational church and he took her to a strange church. How many know what I'm talking about? It was a church where people talk in certain languages and certain things happen at that church. And so I was warned, you know, from the background that I had and certain family members that were still in denominations, don't you be careful when you go to that church. Because in that church, they'll do some kind of hocus pocus spell over you and they will hypnotize you and you will fall on the ground. And they will do strange things to you and they will brainwash you. So in that process, I would sit in the very back of the church, as far back as I could get. And the pastor who was the pastor of that church, how many knows Dr. Phil Richards? Amazing teacher, is he not? He was the pastor of the church. And so I would be in the back, and because they warned me about this, I would actually listen to what he had to say because I was trying to catch the deception that was going on. And so when he would say, turn to your Bible, I would actually be in the back, and here I am, a teenager. I don't want to be there, but yet it's caused me to listen to what he's saying, and I would turn in the Bible. And I would find what he's teaching is actually in the Bible. I was like, wow. But yet I was weary. I was fear bound. You know, I had no liberty and just involved in things I shouldn't have been involved in, you know. And in that church, certain gifts of the Spirit would be in operation. One of those is called the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge is when someone actually, what we call reading your mail. And so I was afraid my mom would find out what I've been doing. So I didn't like that. So I would stay all the way in the back. But then one night we had a visiting crazy South African evangelist came to our church. And this man was crazy. You don't know the definition of crazy till you've been around this man. And all of a sudden one night he said, I have a brother, I want to pray for everyone in the church, all the young people. And when I heard that, the word young people, I got down. I literally got down on the ground. And I started to lay down on the ground because I did not want to go to the front of that church. Number one, they were going to hypnotize me. Number two, they were going to read my mail and expose all my sin. And one of the guys who was the usher in the back, he came back and he said, hey, you, he is praying for all the youth in the church. You need to get up and you need to go. And hesitantly, I didn't want to do it. And I got up and I went to the front. And I can remember standing in that line. Now, this guy when he prays to anoint people with oil, he doesn't just do a little dabble, do you? He doesn't believe in that. He took the whole bottle of oil and he literally poured that oil. And it is running down his arm and down his sleeve and dripping on the ground. And he's doing like this. And he's going and he's praying for people and praying for young people. And things are happening, strange things. I didn't know what to think. But as I'm standing there, for the first time in my life, I begin to sense, I don't know how to explain it. It is a feeling of love like I've never felt before. And I start shaking, though. And I'm wondering, why am I shaking? What is this? It's the presence of God. And I can remember just closing my eyes and thinking, I just want to get out of this church. I just want to, is there a thing called the rapture? Lord, rapture me. I just want to get out of here. But as he got closer, the power of God began to increase, that anointing, that presence of God on me, the love of God. And I remember him standing in front of me, and I wouldn't open my eye. I didn't want to look at that guy. But I remember him standing in front of me, and when he went to me, I heard him laugh as he stood in front of me. But then when he went, I don't remember anything else. All I remember is waking up on the floor. And I was about 5 feet back on the floor, and the tangible power of God, like you had hooked me up to 220 volts of electricity, was flowing all through my body. And I heard the audible voice of God speak to me as a young teenager. And he said, "You are my son. You are my son. You didn't have a father when you were growing up. He abandoned you and you think you are forsaken, but I am your father. I am your heavenly father and I love you like no one loves you. I love you in this place here tonight." And I began to bawl and cry. You know, as a teenager, to be cool, you don't want to be bawling and crying in front of people. But I would bawl and I could not stop crying, and all I sensed was the voice of God saying, "I love you, and you think you are a nobody, but you are a somebody, and I want to use you." You know, that message is true here tonight for every one of you in these seats, that you are a somebody, and no matter what abuse you have gone through, no matter what abandonment, no matter what rejection you have suffered, God sees you in this place here tonight. And he wants to acknowledge to you that he loves you. He cares about you. He has not forsaken you. He is a heavenly father and he's trying to show you how much he loves you. And when he awakens you to that love, it brings you out of yourself and brings you into a realm to where you're not only loved by him, but he allows that love to flow through you to reach other people around you. That love will push you out of your insecurity. That love will push you out of your fears. That love will push you into what we call supernatural, a supernatural life, walking on the water with God to do the amazing. God uses the unusable to reach the unreached. And that's what he did with me. And he took me on the other side of the world with my family. I can remember when we first got married, you know, it was John who married us. You know, I can't get away from this guy. I'm married to him. Unfortunately, no. No, but John and my sister has been a blessing to us. They married us. They've actually pastored us in so many ways and counseled us. And I can remember, you know, my wife and I, we were planning to go to the mission field. And she got pregnant before we planned to get pregnant. I'm sure that's never happened to anyone here tonight. And I can remember I was devastated thinking, "I can't go to the mission field. I can't go to the mission field." And I call up John and I'm all depressed and I'm just, you know, wondering, what am I going to do? I have to rearrange my life. And when I call him up, he's laughing. He calls me Young Kevin. "Young Kevin, what's up?" You know, and I said, "John, I got big problems." He said, "What's up? Are you guys pregnant?" And I said, "How did you know?" And he laughed again, even louder. "Oh, you guys are pregnant, you know." And I was like, you know, this is a big thing. You know, we were planning. And one thing he told me, I never forget what he told me. He said, "Scott," he said, "when God calls the individual, he also calls the family." When he graces the individual, he graces the family also. Because that's who God is. He's a God of the bigger things. And we sometimes, we bring him into such a small view. But yet God wants to break that small view into the largeness of his love and who he is. And through that, he took us to the mission field and doing what we're doing. You know, we started out in Taiwan, then moving into Thailand, and then taking me into Burma. And then from Burma, I went into China. And then from China, the door opened up to Vietnam. And from Vietnam, then Cambodia. And then God birthed in our heart to do these trainings and what we call the AMG training, Antioch Ministry Group. And we're going there and we're partnering with church networks to help nationals understanding their calling and how to do ministry effectively. And by doing that and what we're doing, God pushed me out of a sheltered, fearful life, a life of abuse and abandonment and what I thought was rejection. And he was so much bigger than that. And he revealed himself to me. And that changed me into something I can never be. And that's what God does. He changes you into something you could never be in your natural self. That's why he's a supernatural God. And I see him doing that. And I go in these places and I meet these hidden heroes that when you look at them in the natural, you think, how could God use these people? I mean, they look, some of them look, they look abandoned. I mean, when they fell off the train, you know, and busted out some teeth. And I mean, but God uses these amazing people and God shows me the beauty that they are. And I can remember standing in front of them before and thinking, you know, who am I to minister to these people who've been in jail and suffered and been beaten for the gospel? And God said, you know what, Scott? When you read the Old Testament, I used a donkey to speak. And I said, yeah, you did. He said, didn't I use a donkey? He said, and you're not a donkey. You're a human being. You're my son. You're my child. And I make you worthy. I cause you to be able to speak to them. Because if you don't do it, guess what? No one else would do it. Amen. You know, I really want to drill that into you here tonight. God wants to use you to do some amazing things. Touch the neighbor next to you and say, God's going to use you. I want to show you some testimony. If we have the slides, I want to show you some of the people that I've been working with. Last time I was here, I shared about Laos. Was anyone here last time I was here and I shared about testimony? Laos was, oh man, those guys are so amazing. But I want to share you about some people from Vietnam. So if we can put the picture up, I think number two we have here. Yep. This lady, I call her Pastor Mary. Now she used to be a Martha. But God changed her into Mary. And the first time I went into Vietnam in 2009, and I was in this little room. Now, when I first started going into Vietnam, we had to get down in the vehicle, and we had to hide. And they would drive us into the building, close the gate, and we would run out of the building, run out of the car, into a door, and then run up to the second floor. Things have changed in Vietnam so much more today from when I first started going in 2009. But I remember going in, and she was one of the ones up in this little room, and gathered in the room, there was 40 pastors and leaders in this little room. And I began teaching in that about the New Testament view of the love of God, sharing about God's love and how we need to understand that. And as I'm sharing this about God's love, this lady was in the back corner, and all she did the whole time I'm teaching, she was just crying. She was crying, tears would fall from her eyes. And I'm thinking, what have I done? Maybe I've said something to offend this lady. I don't know what's going on here. You know, but she was just weeping. And then with a time when we would have times of ministry and the Holy Spirit would begin to move and fall in the room. And it's so precious when you hear these men and women lift their voice in praise and worship and the Holy Spirit falls. It's truly amazing. And God just did something in her. And at the end of it, she came forward and she wanted to testify. And she said, you know what? I have served God with my husband, and we are pastors, and we only have about 5 people in our church, and we have pastored that church for many years, and we've been persecuted. The authorities have come to us. They've tried to, they've beaten us. They've done so many things to us, tried to discourage us, but we wanted to remain faithful to God. But she said, I got to a point where I didn't love God anymore. I actually resented God. I felt like he was causing this to happen to me. And she said, I saw him in a legalistic way through the Old Testament. But when you taught on the New Testament and on the love of God and how much he loves us and he wants to use us and how great that love is, she said, I've changed my whole view. You don't understand what's taking place. Something inside of me, it's like, she said, something lifted and something broke in my heart. And she went from that meeting and she went back to her hometown. And she said, later I got this the second time I went back. She said, in one week, she won 7 people to Christ by sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Where at a place where she struggled to try to get people to be born again, now it was happening automatically just by understanding the love of God. To this day now, she has a thriving church. She has every week, she ministers to over 50 children in the village area. And she has a thriving church, and to the point now we teach on leadership and delegation. She said, you know what? I have delegated the ministries of my church. I now have leadership, leaders under me in my church, and our church is thriving. And for the first time, I'm happy. I can relax and I can see God work. Oh, it just warms your heart to hear. You know, and so she is a living testimony of all that what God spoke to us to do is to go there and to train the nations, because see, they can eat things that I can't eat. They can speak a language that I can't speak. They understand the culture that I don't understand. And she can win more people to Christ in 1 week than I could ever try. And that's the plan. That's the purpose that God laid out for us to do. And so I just stand in awe when I hear these testimonies of these hidden heroes. They're just truly amazing. And God reminds me, you know what, Scott? That happened because you were obedient. And it happens because there's obedient people who send you. And we all have a part to play. Amen? We all have a part to play. Let's look at the next one. We go to the next slide. Let's skip this guy for sake of time. Amazing story with him, too long. See the pastor you see here on your left? When I first went into Vietnam, we were working with a small network. And in that small network, there was probably about 60 churches in that network. This pastor came from a different network. He came in and he heard our leadership teaching. And he came to us and said, we got to bring this to my network. And we said, well, sure, you know. And he said, let me go back and talk to my leaders. We didn't know anything about the man. He goes back, and then we found out news. They want us to come over to their network. We go over there to their network. Their network is a network of over 2,000 home churches throughout Vietnam, from the north to the south. They told us that the people that they are shepherding in their home churches, they're reaching almost 250,000 people. And this is what they said. They said, we're going to take your teaching to our leaders, and we have district leaders. We have the north, we have the midsection, and we have the south. And what you teach, they will take back and distribute through the network, and it will go through the churches. And we're just standing in awe. We're like, holy cow, I didn't know how is this going to happen. Well, this is amazing, you know. And so we began teaching. And then, you know, I asked them, I said, can you give me some testimonies of some fruit of what's being accomplished through our trainings and what we're doing? And he wrote this for me just 2 months ago. And this is what he said. I want you to listen to this. He said, I would like to express my appreciation to the Lord for my time attending the Antioch Ministry Group Training School. He said, we have learned so many lessons that are now applicable to my church. Lessons on evangelism, lessons on the power of the Holy Spirit, lessons on prayer, and lessons on leadership. He said, I have applied these in my ministry, and they have changed the way that I lead the church today. I now let my church be led by the influence of the Holy Spirit. Used to, I was religious and traditional, but now I have changed. Our church has experienced growth daily, And that has made the devil angry, in which he has started to attack our local church with persecution. But with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our church is constantly winning the victory over the enemy. He said, in one of the lessons this year, we learned on divine healing. I came back to my local church and I applied this Bible truth that I can lay hands on the sick myself. I can pray for them. There were two members that were very sick in my church. One was suffering greatly from large intestine cancer. After I prayed for this man, the pain immediately stopped. I advised him to go back to his hometown and get treatment. But he decided to stay in our city, and he was seeking chemo treatment in that city. On the day of his appointment, his daughter gave him 6 million dong, which is equal to $300 US, required for the chemo treatment that this man needed. When he went to the hospital, he saw everyone there having to pay more than 6 million dong. They had to pay 10 million dong, which was $500 US. He said, I didn't have the money for that. I could not afford the cost. But when he was called up to the desk, they only asked him for 20,000 dong, which is $1 US. This was his first appointment. He went in, and after the initial checkup with the doctor declared to him, you do not need any treatment at all. He said, I cannot find one sign of cancer in your body. He happily exclaimed to the doctor, this is a true miracle. Thank God that he has made me whole. Hallelujah. He said, I then prayed for the second person. It was a young lady whose age was in her early 30s. She worked in a shoe factory. She had a problem with her larynx and she could not speak or talk. She was brought to the church, and immediately after we prayed for her, her voice was fully restored, and now she can read Bible verses out loud. She shared her healing to the people around her in the factory where she works. Last week, she brought one of the persons at the factory with her to the church. They accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So this healing has produced fruit for the lost to hear about Jesus Christ and be saved. Thank you, Jesus, and all your glory that belongs to you. Please pray for us and pray that we be covered with the blood of Jesus over all the persecution and the attacks of the enemy that comes against us. But we greatly thank you for bringing the word of God to us. Amen. Amen. You know what? God is an amazing God, is he not? God is a God who redeems. If you have in your Bible there, I told you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 28. I'm going to read this, and I want you to think about this as we're reading. For you see your calling. This word calling is invitation. How many know God never forces you to obey him? He's not that. He's not a one who pushes us. He's not one who strikes a whip. He invites you. The Greek word there means to invite out to a calling. And it says, for you see your calling, brethren, and not many of you are wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty or noble are these people called. But God has chosen. Everyone say chosen. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty. God has called the base things of the world and the things that are despised. God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. Now, the first time I read this in verse 28, that God chooses the things which are not to bring to nothing the things which are, I was thinking, you know, what is this? I don't understand this. God chooses things which are not to bring to nothing things that are. This is a Dr. Seuss or something. What is God saying here? And as I began to dig in to study this, God really said, I want you to look at what I'm saying here. And as I began to look in the Greek language, and when you look at this and understand this, that God chooses the things which are not. How many here tonight, you have been in a point in your life where you feel you are not? You are a person who does not have the ability. You do not have the strength. You do not have the resources. You look at your life and you think, I am a person who is not. We constantly go through that. We always put ourselves down. We always devalue ourselves. But God is a God who looks at us and he says, you have more value in yourself than you realize. I want to awaken you to the destiny I've called you to and cause you to see the grace, gifts, and talents that I put on the inside of you. You think you are one that has not, but really you are someone who is empty that I can pour myself into. Because see, God can't use the proud because the proud are full of themselves. And when you're full of yourself and you're full of it, there's no room for God. And so God is looking for those who actually have a place where they know they are empty. And when they know they're empty and they're humble, then he says, that's a great, great vessel I can use because there's nothing in there. And I don't have to fight to try to get in there. I can just pour myself in and I can fill them up. And so that's what God is saying here. I choose the things which are not to bring to nothing things that are. Now, this word to bring to nothing things that are, the nothing, kartargio is the Greek word. And it means to bring to nothing, to abolish, to deliver, and to destroy. God chooses people that have not something, that are humble, that think they cannot be used. He chooses them and he pours himself into them to abolish some things, to destroy some things, and to deliver some things. What are some things in this world that you realize when you look around you in society that should not be? There are things all around us that the enemy has been busy. He is the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And whether it's here in Cranberry Township or on the other side of the world, there are things that are that should not be. And so what does God do? In order to change those things which should not be into the order and the structure that God wants them to be, he's looking for vessels who are empty so that he can pour himself into those vessels and he can use them to deliver Moseses that he calls out. And he chooses these that are Gideons who think they're nothing in themselves. And he chooses Jeremiah's and he chooses Ruth's and he chooses Esther's and he chooses us here today in this place to pour himself into your life so that he can abolish and he can deliver and he can destroy some things that are that should not be. God uses those who think they're unusable to reach the unreachable. I want to share with you here tonight that God has a plan that is so much more bigger than yourself. Quit diminishing yourself. Quit thinking that you're not usable. You say, well, Scott, you know, I'm full of sin. I mess up. Hey, tell me who has not sinned. Tell me who has not messed up. We all, every one of us has messed up. But that's the amazing grace of our God. And his grace is the power to do what we cannot do in ourselves. And God is a God of grace that is working in this age that we are in, which is the church age. And we are in the, how many of you recognize we are in the last of the last of the last days? And we are going to see some amazing things take place. And so many times when we think about that and when someone says that from up here, we assume that it's going to be someone else. But I want to speak to you here tonight that this is not someone else that God is talking about. He's talking about you right there in your seat. You are the person. You are the vessel. You are the entity that God is wanting to use in these last days to reach the unreachable right here in the United States of America. And maybe he's going to thrust you like myself out to the other side of the world. Who knows? But that's who God is. He's an amazing, good God. Because there's people in Vietnam. There's people in Laos. There's people here. There's people in the Hispanic nations. There's people in Europe. There's people in the Middle East that they're experiencing some things that are that should not be. And so God is awaiting for you and I to arise to take our place. He's awaiting. He's waiting for you and I to take our place. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Father, I thank you for every person in this room here tonight. I thank you, Father, that there's no one who has gone too far. There's no one who cannot be used. There's no one who is so despised and unlovable that cannot be loved. And I ask you here tonight, Father, that you do a work in the hearts of all the people that are hearing the sound of my voice. I ask you by the Holy Spirit to begin to cause them to see what they have never seen before, to hear your voice, to hear what they have never heard before, and to experience what they have never experienced before. I ask for your grace to begin to change lives in this place and to see that you are going to use them to perform miracles in their society, in their community, in their families, in their workplaces, in their schools, in this place, Lord. You're calling those who seem to be unusable, that you're going to use them to reach the unreachable. If you're in this room here tonight and you say, Scott, I don't know about this whole religion thing. I don't come to this church, or maybe this is my first time here. I don't know about Jesus and all this stuff you're talking about. But as you're speaking, I do understand and sense what you've been talking about is the love of a father. I want to share with you here tonight, you're not here by accident, but Jesus knows your name. He knows when you were born. He knows everything about you. And one thing he's chosen to do in this place, he has chosen to love you here tonight. And if you have never received Jesus Christ into your heart and receive that love for the first time, I want to give you the opportunity here tonight. Will you be so bold to say, Scott, I'm willing to allow him to love me, and I want to receive this Jesus you're talking about in my life? I want to ask you to do one thing. I want to ask you to put your hand up, and then you can put it right back down. We're not going to embarrass anyone. We want to give everyone in this room here tonight the opportunity to receive Jesus and his love. You can put it up and then put it right back down. Thank you, Father. You're here tonight and you say, Scott, I'm what you've been talking about, a feeling unusable. I have been undergoing condemnation. I have seen myself not the way I know my Father wants me to see myself, and I need to change here tonight. What you've been talking about, and God using those who don't seem like they can be used, I think that is me. I qualify for that, but I want to change that here tonight. I want to begin to experience that radical grace and that ability to step out of my insecurity, to step out of that shelter that I've been in, and to break out and be what God's called me to be. If that's you here tonight, no one looking around, if that's you, I want you to lift your hand up, boldly lift it up. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And you can put it right back down. Father, I thank you for every hand that has gone up here tonight. I'm going to quickly pray for you. Thank you, Father. Anyone else? Father, in the name of Jesus, under the sound of my voice, all those who raised their hands, I ask for your tangible Holy Spirit right now, under the sound of my voice, in Jesus' name, let the hand and the power of God come into the life and the consciousness and the soul of that person who raised their hand, even now, in Jesus' name. And I ask you to begin to do a work that no man can work in himself, but only by your power and your love and your grace to set them free and to see the way they've never seen before, in Jesus' name. Be free from that insecurity. God is setting you free from the helplessness of humanity. And he is bringing you into the ability and the power of his anointing and his love. In Jesus' name, be free to be used and to touch a generation around you. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Victory Family Church. I want to thank you. I want to thank, I love it when I come back here. It's a breath of fresh air. You know, when you're 2 years overseas and you step back in America, it's just like, hey, you breathe in something fresh. It's amazing. But I want to thank you. You know, being a part of this church is an amazing thing. And I can say, if this is not your home church, this is a place you want to make your home church. Such liberty, a teaching of the Word of God, and a revelation of God's love. That's what it's all about. Amen? Amen. Thank you very much. I'm going to turn it over to John. God bless you. And we will see you again.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.